Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the playing of our national anthem.
Baseball fans, you're listening to Babes Babes.
Hi everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Babes Babes. Joining us today is MLB and USA Women's National Team Manager Veronica Alvarez. Veronica, it is such an honor to have you here today, and we know that you are in such a busy season, so thank you so much for being here.
Of course, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're going to kick things off today the way that we normally do to start off our episodes and get to know just a fun little thing about you, kind of where you're at in life right now, and then we'll dive into the more hard-hitting interview questions. But we start our episodes off with a little segment we like to call Around the Horn, and we just kind of go around and share our home run of the week, or, you know, something that's been a highlight of as of recent. It can be baseball-related, like fandom-related. It can be totally personal, like not related to sports at all, just whatever you feel like sharing. And then we share a strikeout, which is like something that's just kind of been a thorn in our side or an annoyance. Like last week for me, it was my allergies. It's still my allergies, but I'll try to make something more interesting this week as well. And then what's on tap? So something that you might be looking forward to. So Jonna, I know you just got back from some travel and you've had kind of a big week. Do you want to kick us off by sharing your home run for the week?
Yeah. So honestly, this is my home run for the week. This is such an honor to be in your presence, Veronica. And it's really, I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. So this is a home run for me, but I also got a promotion at my job this week. So that was kind of my secondary home run.
Yeah. Congrats. That's so exciting. Was it like expected, unexpected?
Yeah, it has been a long time coming kind of thing. Okay, and it's cool. Like, finally, we've had a lot of leadership changes. So it's like, it's finally being set in motion. So
nice. Yeah. It always feels good to be recognized and feel like you're got some forward momentum. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Veronica, do you have anything that comes to mind as your home run for the week?
I think I'm in instructional league right now in Arizona with the A's, and I really love this camp. I love every opportunity I get to be on a baseball field, especially at this level. But this camp specifically is very instruction based, very individually based to each player and how they can improve going into the off season. So I love instruction, and I love, you know, getting to actually coach players and watch them, you know, a light bulb moment go off. So I think that's just the win. Is this week was the start of it. And so I'm happy to be here and getting to do that every day.
Yeah, that has to be such an exciting point to get to have those like breakthrough moments. That's got to be a really cool part of the process.
Yep.
How fun. Well, I'm going to give a little shout out to my guy on the wall behind me here. My favorite baseball player of all time, Adam Wainwright. I am a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Born and bred, and Adam Wainwright finally got win number 199 of his career this past week. So as a baseball fan, I was very happy to see that happen. And then, of course, Jonna, I was going to say right along with you that this interview and getting to talk to the Veronica Alvarez, who we feel like we're just reading about and following along online, is pretty freaking cool too. So before we talk about, you know, more wonderful, exciting things, let's just get some venting out. What has been a thorn in your side this week, Jonna? What's your strikeout for the week?
My strikeout for the week. So I am a diehard Yankees fan, and I really was so excited last week. This was my home run. The baby bombers are up. So it's really been fun to see what they can do. And so now this week on the flip side, my strikeout is that Jason Dominguez prospect tore his UCL. So he will need Tommy John surgery and likely will be out for the entire the entirety of next season. So that is such a huge blow. And it seems like the blows just never stop coming.
Yeah, it was like the one really exciting reason to follow the Yankees right now. It was your home run last week, I think. You were like, the Martian, he's at it. I've heard nothing but talk about him, the excitement around him since he came up, what, like 10 days ago? And then, yeah, a week in, what a blow. Like you said, just a shame. But the good thing is he's young. Hopefully he'll get the care he needs and there'll still be all that excitement about around him when he comes up, you know, 6 months or so from now. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, major bummer there. Veronica, is there anything that's just not really going your way right now?
So not to ruin your fun game. I'm so positive. It's so hard to like get me down, you know?
That's a good coach. That's what we need.
And so I feel like there's a way to grow from every situation. And I really try not to let, you know, a lot of things affect me. I know life's not always perfect. So I come from a very realistic mindset. I was a firefighter medic. So I have seen how life goes the wrong way. But that has also given me a perspective to appreciate every day and kind of learn from the situations that aren't always favorable. So I apologize that I cannot give you a strikeout for the week.
This was your strikeout. We tried to bring you down and you were like,
yep,
not going to happen. I love it. Well, my strikeout is really just, actually, has you've kind of already turned it into I've already found the silver lining, because I was going to say that I'm starting to get really sad that there's just only a couple weeks of, you know, baseball left for at least my favorite team this year. But even as you were sharing about the instructional league just getting going, I was already thinking like there's still so many exciting things and there's always some point of investment as a baseball fan to, you know, just learn more about what's going on and the inner workings of it. And that is a really fascinating part of it as well. So I'm looking forward to just hearing more about the work that you're doing and what we can follow along all winter long.
Yeah, the off season's a great time for all that information. Everyone, all the trades and all the things, you know, like, so yeah, it's still an exciting time during the off season.
Yes,
absolutely.
Very informational and educational. Mm-hmm. Well, what's on tap, Jonna? What are you looking forward to that we might be hearing about as like a home run in the future for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to the playoffs, despite my team not making it this year. And more specifically, we, Babes Babes, are planning what we're going to call a mic'd up series. So we plan to go live at least a couple of innings a game, probably not every game, but as many games as we can hit. And yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. So it'll be a good way to keep us engaged throughout the playoffs and hopefully engage some more baseball fans.
Yeah. Well, you stole mine. That was mine. Because I am looking forward to just, connecting with other podcasters from other fan bases. And hopefully we're going to have a lot of that in the excitement that comes with the playoffs. Veronica, I'm sure there's a lot going on for you, but is there anything particular that stands out that you want to share with us as your what's on tap?
I mean, baseball-wise, obviously there comes a slower period, but I work a lot of camps on the MLB side for girls baseball. And one of the events is the final event of the year is one of my favorites. It's the Breakthrough Series that MLB and USA Baseball host together. And it's the top 30 female baseball players, high school age baseball players in the country.
Oh, wow.
And some Canadians, which I will get into my rivalry with Canada and how I'm like, no Canadians, but in a friendly way. Yeah, so it's a really cool camp, really good coaches, some former women's national team players, some women in professional baseball come out and coach at that event. But it's a really cool event to guide these young players. So I'm excited about that. On the personal side, it's my wife's birthday next week. And I set up, I'm going back into town to celebrate her birthday with her and set up a nice dinner and things like that. So I think it's going to be a really nice day.
And you're going to get extra points because you just gave her a shout out a whole week early. That's awesome. It's always fun to have those personal things to celebrate. And I love celebrating other people even more than me. So I'm like,
sure.
That's, you know, That's my Super Bowl, is when I get to plan a party for somebody else. No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Veronica, we've got a ton to learn about you, and we're going to not try to take it back like too far. But Jonna, do you want to kick us off with our official kind of interview portion of the episode today?
Yeah. And before I do that, can I give us a little more background on Veronica for our listeners?
Yeah.
And then I'll kick off.
Yeah. Give us the rundown.
Kick us off into questions. So please correct me if I, you know, misrepresent anything in your bio here.
Okay.
All right. So a first generation American born in Miami, Florida, Veronica is the daughter of Julio and Ophelia Alvarez, two Cuban immigrants and the younger of two children. Her passion for baseball started at the age of five, and by the age of six, she began to play in Little League, which I really want to hear more about this. After Little League, where she pitched for the All-Star team once, she switched to softball and later earned a scholarship to play at Villanova University. After graduation, she spent a year playing softball in Valencia, Spain. She played for the USA baseball women's national team four times in her career as a catcher. Her time with the Red, White, and Blue started in 2008, and every team she participated on medaled in international competition. She ended her playing career in 2015 after the team won a gold medal at the Pan American Games. 2015 marked the first and only year that women's baseball was included in the international multi-sport event. Since finishing her playing career in 2015, she has continued to help grow the next generation of female baseball players as a coach at the MLB Trailblazer Series from 2017 to 2019 and the MLB Girls Baseball Breakthrough Series Showcase and Development Camp in 2018 and 2019. Joining the collaboration between Major League Baseball and USA Baseball to foster the next generation of female baseball players in the U.S. In 2018, she served as an assistant coach for the USA Baseball Women's National Team. The following year, she served as a coach with the Oakland A's at Major League Baseball Spring Training, a position she still holds. In 2019, she made her managerial debut with the U.S. Women's National Team. For her work at the helm, she became the first woman to be named the organization's Rod Dedeaux Coach of the Year under her direction. Under her direction, Team USA finished its tournament with a perfect 7-0 record and the program's first gold medal since the Toronto 2015 Pan American Games. The team was named USA Baseball's Team of the Year after its dominating in the summer of 2019. Veronica continues to serve as the women's national team manager today.
Woohoo!
Usually I have to say that in one long winded Ace Ventura, taking a deep breath like Ace Ventura, and get that out. I would say that's accurate. I think the MLB camps, and it only mentions two of them in there, but the first one was the Trailblazer event. And it was in 2017, and I've participated at, I'm pretty sure, every single one of those since. And then 2018 marked the beginning of that Breakthrough Series, which happens in November, that I'm very excited about. I've been at every single one of those. And then they also added the Elite Development event, I want to say last year, which is the top 60 players. So before this 30, the 60 happened, we kind of picked from there. So I've been fortunate, and that's a very important part of my why is these young girls. So these camps are really important to me. We could talk a lot about them, and I'm sure you guys have some questions that will lead me to talk about them, but those events are incredible to be at.
So yeah. Cool.
Yeah. We'll take it back a little bit. Jonna, do you want to, let's just kind of start from the beginning and go in chronological order here, at least a little bit, to hear about how you got started in the game itself.
For sure. Do you want me to just go for it, or you have a...
Well, we have a little bit of a script, and we can definitely go off script too. Like,
no, however. I can go off script. I can't promise that, but you
what you want. So the first question we had was, how did you start playing baseball? Like, how did you get into it at such a young age? And were you drawn to any other activities or sports as a young child?
I would say that from the get-go, I wanted to play baseball as a little girl. There's a lot I can go into. And you did mention that my parents, you know, were born in Cuba. And so I grew up in Miami, Florida, which is a very Latin place. I grew up in a very Hispanic culture. And so the norm was not to let your little girl play sports. That's not the norm in our culture still, unfortunately. And I try to advocate for that. But, you know, my parents deserve all the credits for supporting me. But in my journey, and I wouldn't be where I am right now if that hadn't been the case since I was a little girl. So I always try to give them credit. They're always my number one fans at all the events I go to, even as a coach. So it's really fun to have them around. But I wanted to play. I mean, they did the typical thing of taking me to the ballet studio. And the story is that I just ran away screaming no, and that I wanted to play baseball. And so they took me to sign up, and, you know, I got the opportunity. But it was definitely in our culture to play the game of baseball. My grandparents met at a baseball field. My mom the other day was happy to tell me that she was in my grandmother's stomach at baseball games, right? So it's like this was just born into us as a family and who we were. But yeah, so it was always around. My grandmother would always listen to the Dodgers games on the radio. And so whether it was that happening when I was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old or something else, I don't know. But from the get-go, I just wanted to play the game.
I love that. You're a girl after my heart. I feel like I was the same way. I would have ran from ballet as well.
Yeah.
Well, and when you find the thing that you're drawn to, like, you just can't deny it. So that's awesome that, you know, they supported you and you got exposed to it and you got to just go for it from such an early age. So we read that you played some third base and you even pitched early on in your playing days, but tell us how you ultimately ended up taking on the position of catcher.
Yeah, my arm has always been my strength. And so those two positions were kind of obvious, but one day the coach on one of my, you know, little league teams, a boys team, said that we need a catcher. We don't have a catcher. And I immediately raised my hand. And my mom was like, no. You know, and I was like, yes. And so ever since then, I was a catcher. I mean, sure, I dabbled and took ground balls in the infield, but I was a catcher. I mean, everything about me. And so, yeah, there's so much to that position that I love and that I get to still coach and players and teach and that I have added to me as a manager or as a leader on a field. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's any like specific shared characteristics of catchers? Because I feel like there's a lot of catchers who have become great coaches, and there's also a lot of players that like maybe weren't catchers first, but they become catchers. Is there like a way that you kind of notice those skills in someone?
For sure. At the young levels, I tell people when they ask me like, who should I make a catcher? You should ask the question, who wants to be a catcher? Whoever raises their hand, that's your catcher, right? Doesn't matter what they look like. Because you have to be super willing to, one, wear balls off of your body at all times, work the hardest. You just have to cover so many other parts of the game. I'm not saying that anybody else doesn't work hard, but there are so many parts to catching that we need to be really good at, on top of managing personalities, reading situations, right? And leading the entirety of the team. But I always say that the one quality that makes a catcher really good is being selfless, right? It's a very a thankless job in a sense, and you're working really hard to make somebody else look better. And very few times in your career do you get a, hey, great job, way to make so-and-so, you know, who he is or whatnot, or like help him in this situation. And so selflessness, it's a good quality to have in a catcher. The opposite, right? Selfishness, it usually results, it's a bad result, right? So I would say that's number one quality. And then after that, you know, we gain so many skills catching, and that's why you see us, a lot of us as managers. The most basic one that I love to analyze is like when you're little in practice, nobody really practices with the catchers at like your typical little league, right? Practice. Your job is to flip the coach balls as he hits everyone else balls, right? Like practices everyone else. And at the time you're like, oh my God, this is a waste of time, right? But in looking back, the entire time I was standing next to the head coach who has all the information, right? And is dictating things and teaching other positions about the game. And so I'm just taking this all in and learning how to coach and learning about the game, even though I feel like nothing's really happening, right? And so all of that through a lifetime of doing it and working through it. And like I said, managing personalities, the pitching staff, your other team members, seeing the game from another view leads to the better transition into coaching and specifically to be a manager.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I'm just very interested in like the catcher pitcher dynamic. Like, how important is that? And can you tell us a little bit about like when that really clicks or how it might make a difference performance wise?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important, right? And creating that relationship is probably number one to getting success out of your pitcher and getting the most out of them. You know, like the saying goes, they're out there by themselves on an island. And so if they don't feel supported by the catcher, the person that they're looking to for that trust and support, right? If they don't feel that from you, and so if you don't have that like sense of selflessness, right, is where that comes in. Yeah. A pitcher recognizes that immediately, and it goes kind of guard goes up, and now they're in defense mode more often than not, right? And they feel even more alone out there, and they don't really feel like you have their back. So that creating that relationship is probably one of the most important things to finding success as a battery, right? And you know, getting them to trust you, right? So that they could throw a ball in the dirt and that you're going to block it. And that trust comes from that relationship that's built.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you guys spend time with that relationship building aspect in spring training? And like, what does that look like?
We talk about it often. Those are a part of the catcher meetings and like the importance of that. And in professional baseball, the fact that there are different cultures out on the field is a factor as well, right? We have a lot of pitchers that don't speak English very well and catchers that don't speak Spanish, right? And just a mix of that, or a catcher that doesn't speak English and a pitcher that only speaks English, right? And so the importance of those two people, especially the catcher, we tell them all the time, try to learn the other language so that you can communicate with your pitcher a little bit better and form those relationships. But I think it's something that you learn through time as well. If you're the right personality, if you embrace that leadership position that you have, you find that those individuals are really good at seeking out their teammates, not even specifically the pitchers, but all of their teammates, and really learning like what makes them tick, right? So that when you walk out there to the mound, do I need to know if I need to tell this person a joke? Do I need to kind of be hard on this person? Like, you need to understand how your pitcher thinks and how they work in stressful situations and how they come out of like the red zone, right? And how can you bring them back to a level mindset so that they can perform again, you know? And I mean, it's a constant like reading of body language and personalities. And I mean, catching is incredible, right? And so you get to like learn all these skills of reading situations and then playing off of them. But yeah, it's something. And I tell catchers, I'm like, the moment that young catchers, right, the moment that everyone starts like coming to you, even off field, to ask you a question, you're like, at first your thought is like, why are you asking me that? I don't know. Right. It's because they now recognize you as a leader. And so you need to embrace that. So you need to know the information. Right. So you need to pay attention to the coach when they talk, because they're going to come to you and ask you those little details that maybe they missed. So but that's a good cue that you're now taking on this leadership role. You're doing a good job of it. Now you need to fully embrace it.
It's like there's this whole level of emotional intelligence behind a catcher that's like integral to the entire team.
Yes, definitely. Right. And you can't be in like, you can't sulk about, that's why I think selfless is like the perfect word. You can't really just like sit in your sadness when you aren't successful at bat, or if you make a mistake, because everyone's looking at you and everyone's reading your energy. And so if you're giving off the wrong energy, because you're just, you know, upset with yourself and being selfish, then that's going to affect everyone big time. You know, I'm big on energy, and I tell people I'm a witch and I see energy, and I really feel like I do. But I'm really big on those things. And
I love that. I love that. I call it vibes, but I completely, yes, energy. It's totally the same thing. And yeah, your intuition and like just instincts for picking up on that from people has to be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, before we, you know, dive back into more questions, I need to ask, like, on this topic, was there a catcher when you were growing up that you really sort of tried to model yourself after?
I would say my favorite catcher of all time is Jorge Posada from the Yankees. He, and I need to learn this statistic because I've brought it up many times and I don't know the facts, but there was a statistic at one point that showed how successful the Yankees were when he was in the game versus when he wasn't, right? And it was really mostly based off of his leadership ability and his ability to be a good teammate.
Absolutely.
I gave you that big time. And so
he deserves the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's very cool. So, all right, Kelsey, should we dive back in?
Yeah, I think the next thing we want to ask you about is, because we know that obviously now baseball is the main focus of what you do day to day, but at some point you did transition from baseball to softball. How did that happen, and what opportunities did softball at the time open up for you?
When I was growing up in Miami, fast pitch softball had just taken off when I was about 9 years old, and I refused it for, it felt like years, but it was probably just like a year. But a good friend of my family's was the one kind of leading the march forward for fast pitch softball. And so she was it's a friend of mine's mom, and it was her that kind of like pushed for me to switch over. And fast pitch softball at the park I was playing baseball, I was really seeking out good athletes and trying to really, like, you know, grow the sport and make it competitive so that they could, you know, have a product, right? And so I was switching schools to a school that had a softball team. And so the way she convinced me was, you're going to play softball at school, so, you know, let's just switch over. And it finally happened, right? And I denied it for a while. I didn't want to do it. But once I made the switch, I embraced it and my goal shifted to softball. And I kind of forgot baseball was, I didn't know baseball would be an option in the future, right? And I didn't know I would be here, right? But I was always more of a baseball player playing softball. My coaches continue to be baseball guys. Anytime I got an opportunity to hit a baseball, I would do it. But just really just out of the love of the game. And that's kind of how I just trained for it, but not knowing that there would be an opportunity for me in the future. So I obviously, like you said, switched to softball and played at Villanova for 4 years and then had an opportunity to play in Spain. So all really great experiences. So though I am very much baseball and I have people who love to throw softball out because they think I get upset about it, I don't have anything against softball, right? They're just two different sports, and I'm advocating for these young girls to get opportunities to play the game of baseball, which is what they want to play. And also, you know, be you know, visible as, like, to show them, unlike I knew, that there would be a spot for them in the future in the game if that's something that they wanted to work for. So that's why I love, you know, you guys highlighting me and letting me speak on this topic, and everyone that, you know, does, is really important to the process of showing these little girls that there are goals for them to stay in the game of baseball as long as they like.
Yeah, absolutely. So then how did you end up coming back around to, you know, you had your collegiate opportunities, your scholarship opportunities through softball. How did you come back around to find these opportunities in baseball?
I did a Google search. So after when I came back from Spain, you know, I absolutely love being on a field. I don't know if you feel my passion yet, but it'll come eventually. But, you know, I absolutely loved it. And I just wanted to be back on. So I was working a desk job right after Spain, and I soul crushing. I don't know if you do it, but I apologize. It doesn't fit my personality. Yeah. Okay. So, I know it works for a lot of people, so I am not hating on it. But I just wanted to get back out there. So it just so happened through a Google search, I emailed this caller. I Google searched the Colorado Silver Bullets, which was an all women's professional baseball team. The first, you know, the first one in this last, you know, bit of, I don't know. The first one was obviously the All-American Girls Professional League. This one was sponsored by the Rockies. And so they would go around and play men's teams. And I was fortunate to see this one time when I was 12 years old. And it was obviously very effective to see one game on TV of it. I remembered it, you know, 14 years later and did a Google search. So that led me to USA Baseball. And it just so happened that they had competed in the 2006 World Cup in that moment. And so they said, we'll email you, we'll keep you on the list and let you know when the next opportunity is. So 2 years later, my opportunities to be athletic and be outside were slow pitch softball and kickball league on Friday nights. But I had also become really, it gotten in shape and I started running half marathon. So 2 years later when they emailed and said, hey, we have a tryout in Kenosha, Wisconsin, if you want to come out, though I hadn't been playing baseball, I had been, you know, in really good shape. So I went out there, and that's the fork in the road for me, was the decision to go out there on 4th of July weekend to Kenosha, Wisconsin, and try out for this national team that I knew nothing about. And it forever changed the course of my life, because now I'm here, and I'm really grateful for that moment.
So as you mentioned, you went and you played for the U.S. Women's National Team. What were your biggest takeaways from that time of being a player on the team?
Well, I mean, it was an incredible experience. Obviously, we got to travel internationally, which I love traveling, which was the actual reason I was like, ah, I'll go to the tryout. If anything, it'll be a cool travel experience. And then it obviously became so much more than that. And so I got to go to Japan. I got to play in Venezuela. We played in Canada 1 year. 2 years, and Dominican Republic. So I not only did I get to meet incredible women, play this game that I love, but I got to travel internationally and play that game in those places. So those were really incredible takeaways. But as far as like the team and what I wanted this team to be, all of my experiences led to me deciding that when I stopped playing on the national team, that I would go all into coaching with the goal of being the manager of the women's team. And I just wanted to be able to provide the women with the best resources possible in their development based off of the effort levels that they put in, the time commitment that they put in. They deserve it. And so I really wanted to set us up for success. Though we medaled in every event that I was a part of the team, it wasn't gold in the world stage. And so I wanted to take us back to winning a gold medal and being number one in the world again.
Do you, you've mentioned now a couple of times that, you know, the thought of not even knowing that opportunities in baseball existed for you beyond Little League. And we certainly, like, of our generation, feel that way too, which is why we're here, you know, mid 30s, like, oh, we can work in baseball. Cool. But do you think the accessibility and the awareness of professional opportunities for women in baseball is expanding?
Oh, 1,000%. There wasn't that, right? And every little girl, like, if you would have asked me when I was 12, or everyone would say, oh, she's going to be the first major leaguer, right? And that was the commonality to even these young girls right now. But it was like, there's things beyond the field too, right? There's the coaching aspect and, you know, umpiring and athletic training and all these different facets to it. So my first year in professional baseball was 2019. I was the only woman on field in 2019 as a coach, as a field, you know, baseball coach. And since then, I am now losing count, right? There was recently a post on it. The number may have been 19, but the goal is to lose count and to not really know who's out there. Obviously, understanding that we still carry so much weight of the gender on our shoulders and what we represent. And every time a new person comes in, it's almost like that's the message we want to provide, is like, understand this and represent it well. But only because we want the doors to continue to open. We're getting to the point where we're losing count. And so I think that we've taken some really big leaps in these last few years, and it's really inspiring and very positive. And so, yes, I think the opportunities are just going to continue to grow. The perspective is that different perspective is really good, right? And so that's the feeling in professional baseball. I think the analytics and the involvement of analytics in baseball and who runs those departments has opened up people's minds to think that people to contribute in this game don't look a certain way or haven't had a certain background. And that opened the door to us as women as well. And so I know that I've fallen into a really good organization with really incredible men that are my advocates. And it's incredible to be a part of, you know, that and just be around these people with so much knowledge and so much willingness to let me contribute as well. And so that has helped my time since the beginning just continue to grow in my position.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you're now, you've made the transition into coaching over from playing. And so, you know, you just led the women's team to win the pool at the World Cup. And that was amazing. I loved watching all of those games. Like,
yeah, they didn't just win. They like crushed. They were like sending each other screenshots back and forth. Like, are you seeing this? Is this
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. I give them so much credit. In 2000, when I took over as a manager in 2019, we pretty much had the exact same team from 2018. And I just felt like we were playing cautious, and it was just so careful. And right. And so in 2019, I created this team motto with the help of my wife and kind of just like dove into that, and the women immediately absolutely loved it, right, and grabbed hold of it. But we incorporated that first year. It was all about, I would give out this spice award, right? If you like dove for a ball, like I wanted aggressive behavior, like play, and then I'd rather pull you back than like have to like push you forward, you know? And so I encouraged the aggressive play aspect and let them make errors, right? There's a lot of power in accepting that you're going to fail a lot of the times and just keep pushing, and you're growing as you're failing, you know? So they did that. And 2019 was an incredible year as well. We went from placing fourth in a World Cup to dominating the field in 2019, which was just in a Pan American qualifier. So the major players that we're still haven't faced weren't at that event, but I was sure that following year, which ended up COVID, right, ruined it, we would have dominated no matter who we played. But these women made some really big adjustments that year, and it was really fun to watch. And then since then, you know, if you look at it, it was 2019, we had that event. 2020 was COVID. 2021, we did a development camp for a week. 2022, we did a development camp for a week. Oh, and we did a friendly against Canada. So we haven't had so many of these like big events to hold these women, and they're women with careers and families and starting families, right, and babies and things like that. And so so much credit goes to them to holding on to the passion and the drive to be the best, and to this team motto that has like really grabbed them all. And so this year, I think we had the most returners come to our tryout ever, right? We always have like this core group, and like people fall off because life, right? And it's fine. But we had 19 returners this year. And so that was huge. And so it's getting better and better. And the goal is that tryouts are really hard, and that there's not a defined group that makes it, in a group that's like on edge, right? I want it to be that everyone's scared they're going to lose their position, and that, you know, everyone's competing for this spot so that we could be the best, you know, as a collective group of USA, you know. But yeah, that was incredible. And this event, we knew what we had. I knew what we had. I've been watching the growth of this now for the last 5 years. And so I've had this like front row seat to it, and it's been wonderful. And so I know exactly what has happened in the last 5 years. I think some players didn't even realize it because they don't see it from my angle, right? And One of them even made the comment that she was nervous. And I was like, what are you nervous about? Like, in my mind, like, there was no question based off of the product that we had. So yeah, it's been fun these last 5 years to develop, and we're still on this mission. And yeah, next year is the final. So looking forward to it.
Well, we might just make a little road trip out there.
That'd be awesome.
So this team motto that you speak of, is that the RTEFW?
Yes, it
is.
Love
it.
It's aggressive. I'm aggressive, but it's awesome. It's the truth, though. That's what we've been working for, you know, and they've been working really hard for it. And we've had a lot of really good contributing coaches. One of the most important things for me is bringing in coaches that deserve to be there. These women deserve the best. And so I don't care what your resume looks like, but if you're not a good person and you don't teach with passion, you don't get the invite. And so that has meant that we have had a lot of really good instruction at every event that we've had. And so they've grown from it. There's been consistent coaches and some change-ups, and it's on purpose. It hasn't been by accident. And so, yeah, we've taken little bits from each person and applied it. And now, you know, we're on this upward trajectory and willing, you know, hopeful that we get to prove ourselves next year.
Well, and as you mentioned, these women, a lot of these women have jobs, they have careers, they have families. I mean, that makes it to me even more amazing, fascinating, and impressive that they do what they do and don't get to just baseball for life.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. We have now Kelsey Whitmore who gets to baseball for life, and that's really exciting that we're making moves.
Yeah, and hopefully as there just is more and more awareness and excitement around it, that will continue to happen more. But you heard people talking about that so much around the World Baseball Classic, which was really cool that some of like the Czech Republic team comes to mind of, you know, the majority of them had very, you know, civilian day jobs that we could all relate to. And we couldn't believe that they were here on the world stage. And I was thinking like, well, this is the entire women's national team, you know, so it's cool to hear that come from you and bring that to light, because, you know, it's just all about awareness and excitement being built around it. And then the accessibility of it to fans as well. I'm listening to you talk now and I'm like, well, you just seem like you've always been a coach and you're obviously a very natural coach. But was there like a moment for you where you knew that I'm meant to be a coach?
So did you guys watch the movie Mighty Ducks?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Grew up on that.
I don't know his name, the character in the movie, but at one point he becomes the coach, right? He gives up his spot on the team and goes to the coaching side, and he's a little boy, right? But it was to make the place for the other player on the team to make the roster because they had filled the roster. I always identified with that character. So even when I was a little girl watching that movie, I really understood his reasoning and how that happened. So it was, I think, in me, whether that was like, I don't think that was the moment I decided to be a coach.
Sure.
But it was definitely always there. And I think I really knew it in when I was on the national team, you know, that I wanted to be a coach. And for a while I was doing it on the side. I was a firefighter paramedic for almost 8 years. And that added to my coachiness. I learned so much in that career, in that job, about leadership and working under pressure and managing a team and being on a team, right? And managing stress. And yeah, so many factors. And I talk about it. I tell my team, like, lesson from the firehouse, you know, I have these talks with them, but so much came from that. And it's cool to analyze the similarities in that fire life and baseball life and how those two things have really worked in my favor.
How do you go about like having those discussions? Or I guess I'm sure it's a part of your coaching relationship with whether it be the women on the team or even these guys who are coming up through the minor league system. Like, just, I'm sure hanging in there and like, you know, for how long do I work through it? Am I going to continue to get opportunities? Do I get to a point where I have to choose, like, you know, how I'm going to make a living, this or that? Like, are those conversations that you help have with people or help them work through? Or I guess, what advice would you give to people who are working through that as someone who had to work through it yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I probably have those conversations more so on the girls and women's side. I every once in a while, probably on the boys' side. I'm now the coordinator of player development for Latin America for the Oakland A's. So I go down to Dominican Republic and deal with a lot with our Latin players all the time, not a lot. And so those are like real life conversations with them, right? Cause sometimes the other option isn't a great one. But with the young girls, like I don't want to be a dream crusher, right? And so I want them to be able to take these opportunities. And if this is their goal, to survive in this as long as possible, right, with hard work and using their abilities to the best, you know, way, the best way possible and their strengths. But yeah, it's a hard conversation, you know, and you really can't tell anybody that it's time. It's something that you have to realize on your own. And some do, but it's, I think on the youth side, these are conversations we have at these camps a lot, is about goal setting. I love goal setting and vision boards. So I have them doing those things. I think a lot of girls struggle with when they don't accomplish a goal. I think a lot of young people, right? They think that this is their goal and this is step one. And if I don't accomplish this, I'm a failure. Right. And we know that life is about adjustments, and there are forks in the roads, and there are decisions you have to make, and there's another path that might be the better choice, even though it wasn't the original choice, you know? And so those conversations, I think, are really important. And another reason why these camps are so valuable is that they're almost sometimes hearing that for the first time. And when it's girls playing baseball, the option of softball always exists. Everyone feels the need to tell you that you should switch, that you should, you know, make that decision. Like if you hadn't heard it a million times before, like if you didn't know it, right? And so they're constantly battling this. And so sometimes them making that decision to switch to softball feels like a failure. Like they gave up on themselves, they gave up on their dream, and that they just like gave in, right? And so, these conversations happen all the time, but life is about adjustments. And we all know that now in adulthood, and it's okay. And sometimes we just need to adjust the sails and find the right path that, you know, fits our needs and our strengths.
Amen. It is. It's a little bit different for everybody. And it just speaks to, again, your ability to like meet someone where they're at and take on, you know, their energy and give something back and just kind of, it's all part of the journey. But I think one of the things that we have realized now that we've started to follow women's baseball, and John, I think you would agree with me here, is like when we came to Rockford and we watched the women's team play their exhibition games as they warmed up to go to the qualifying event. And we just, we couldn't believe the amount of dedication, the level at which they're playing at, and just how do we get the word out there more? Like, how do we continue to gain fans and, you know, drum up excitement and just awareness for the level at which these women are playing at?
I mean, that's always the thought, right? Like our brains are always going, my brain's always going how we do go about this, but do they deserve it? In my mind, there's no doubt that they deserve the recognition and the opportunities that come their way. You know, some of it is on us, right? And unfortunately, right, we have to be our own promoters, and that doesn't always feel right. Like, it's weird to me to promote myself. So usually I promote my players or the, you know, the opportunities for the young girls and things like that. But there is so much value in representation, and a lot of the things that kind of led me to where I am is because I was able to see it, right? The Colorado Silver Bullets. And so just seeing women in these positions and hearing about it, I think is so important for these young girls. And so any chance I get, I try to speak on it. But more people highlighting us, but seeing is believing. When I was a player, I used to call practice making believers, because I would go out there and everybody would be like, you play baseball, right? And then I would throw, and they'd be like, oh my God, like their eyes would open, like the most shocking thing ever. And so, you know, we seeing is believing. And so I think it's, you know, getting the videos out and actually seeing them play, like not even the still photos. The still photos do no justice, because someone's going to find a flaw in it, right? And it's almost like the videos. And so last year we had this incredible content creator that USA Baseball has an intern cover us, and he made some really great hype videos. I kept telling him, like, you're gonna get me beat up. I sound like such a, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse you, but you know, I sound so aggressive, and I am, right? But still, like, it doesn't need to be in everyone's face. And then this year again, we had a young guy that was really good as well. But I am constantly talking to them because it is so important, the images that they put out there, because we're gonna be, you know, there's going to be a microscope on these women and on our game and on the skill of, you know, what that we're putting out there. So, seeing is believing. And so more images, more video, in my opinion, get people out there and watching is very important. We have two players on our national team that are part of the MLB Derby, Home Run Derby X. I don't know if you all have seen that.
Yeah.
So them being out there, you know, it's just constant, somebody having to say USA Baseball Women's National Team, you know, over and over again. And so, you know, we make little believers little by little, and we create this web of advocates and believers. And eventually, I believe that it'll become a mainstream thing where it just allows for more opportunities for the young girls.
Yeah, I love that. At a work event that I was at this week, one of my colleagues said the term, if you can see it, you can be it. So yeah, that's what I'm going to carry with me for sure.
For sure. You know, I could tell somebody a million times that I play baseball, coach baseball, whatever, until they see it, especially like me throw a ball. It's like they don't understand, you know? And so, at the beginning, when I started with the A's, it was my favorite thing was anytime that I would go like reach for a ball, which is supernatural to me and my favorite thing to do, everyone's eyes just went right to see what was going to happen. And in my mind, I was like, oh, here it is. And I'd pick it up and I would like launch it. And then they're all like, what the heck? It was like mind blowing, you know, to them. But so it's so funny how those things happen, and it's incredible. You know, I used to only wear my baseball hat for interviews. I wouldn't do an interview without it because so many times if I didn't look like a baseball person, right, with a hat, right, presents as such, they couldn't hear the words that were coming out of my mouth. Like it just didn't like match up. Yeah. And so it took them so long to process it. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do an interview and look like a baseball person, and maybe this will make it easier. And then it did. Right. And obviously I've my resume is bigger and more filled, and I have all these advocates, like I say, and people that believe and know that I belong. So, you know, people need to catch up. And so, but yeah, so many times, like it just takes people such a hard time to process it, which is wild.
I saw a reel that Major League Baseball put out probably a month or so ago. And I think it was for, you know, something that they had the players record just in support of like mental health awareness. And it was like Mike Trout did a clip followed by Kelsey Whitmore. And I was like, yes, Mike Trout and Kelsey Whitmore on this same reel together that Major League Baseball is putting out. Like, it was just so cool to see her side by side with him, and that they were like highlighting her as if she was right alongside him. There was a third player too. I can't remember who it was, but it was some other like mainstream, you know, Major League Baseball player. And that's the kind of stuff too, that I'm hoping that will continue to circulate, because you immediately see that and you're like, who is this talking alongside Mike Trout? I have to know more. So right. Yeah, the seeing it, especially this day and age.
Yeah. And like the advocacy of these people, right, which I think is going to really help us, is, you know, we obviously need to support women supporting women. And I think that we have completely changed as a society in the last 10 years. And we're more in line with that because we were at each other for whatever reason. We thought we were competing for the one spot, and now we realize we could take over the whole world. Yes. But, you know, I think that we've really changed just as a society in the last 10 years in a positive way. And I'm sure there's areas of work that haven't, right? And there are places. But generally speaking, I think we're really improving, especially on the sports side. But we will forever need our male advocates, right? And I very much value them. And it is what it is, right? And they say it and they support us, and that support goes a long way. So I think that's another way, is getting more and more of these guys to speak on their support of us, because we know it exists, they know it exists, but usually the haters are from the outside that don't really understand the game. And so just like Kelsey, just like Olivia Pichardo, right? Just like these young players that are girls and women in baseball, it's we feel very supported from the inside. Again, that's not 100% accurate, right? Some people are in different situations, but I would say we feel, and I can speak to those people, supported from the inside. Our teammates have our back, our coaches have our back, know that we belong, and it's usually just people from the outside. So that advocacy, speaking up, is a valuable part of it as well, and the growth of it.
Awesome. Well, do you have any specific like professional goals just as you, Veronica? Obviously, you've accomplished more than more than I certainly ever could have imagined, considering no one saw someone like you doing what you are doing, which I just think is so incredible. But are there any specific goals that you have set for the future for yourself?
I really like the role I have right now with the A's. I get to bridge this gap between this organization that I feel very passionate about. Again, incredible culture, which is within the coaching staff, and just like a growth environment. And the academy in the Dominican Republic, right, is and the Latin players. So I want to be the advocates for the Latin guys, really make sure that they're being set up for success, and really, you know, making sure that this great organization is utilizing them properly as well. So, yeah, that's right now. I'm really focused on the job I have. Obviously, I have goals with the women's national team. I want to win a gold medal next year. I want it to be an Olympic sport in the future. Obviously, I would love to be the manager still in that moment, whenever it is. But yeah, I'm trying to hold that position as long as possible. But I also understand, you know, things happen. But yeah, so I have those goals. I want there to be a U21 team for the young girls. My goals are usually for other people. So, but yeah, just kind of continue to grow, keep surrounding myself with good people, and just get better and better every day.
I love that. So what's your best piece of advice for anyone who's passionate in the pursuit of their dreams?
Never let the possibility of somebody telling you no hold you back from pursuing your dreams, right? So don't let that affect you. There, find a way, find a route. There's a supportive person out there that will give you an opportunity, right? But it's obviously not going to come free. It's not going to come easy. It comes with hard work and applying yourself, but be prepared when it comes, and go full in. I mean, go all in.
I mean, we are all our biggest obstacles, right? I mean,
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. There are good people out there though, that are willing to, you know, stand up and stand out and speak up for you, and give you that, you know, that opportunity, whether it was because somebody gave them one, or because, you know, you make them think of somebody that they know and love, whatever that may be, there are supporters out there that will give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's cool to hear you talk about too, how, of course, you're saying like your goals are for other people, but that's your legacy. That will be your legacy. And that has already been, I mean, the impact that you've had and the reach that you have, that's what a good coach does. So I am a fitness professional, so I have worked as a coach in that capacity. So I just love like just the way you speak and the way that you obviously engage with people is really interesting and has been very cool to hear you talk about.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been fortunate to coach some really incredible people. You know, I love leadership, like I said before, but I love making leaders. And so if that's my contribution to the future are these young girls and women that I get to, you know, speak to and have a relationship with and build trust with and, you know, guide in whatever way, if those women are going to be incredible game changers in the future. And so that's potentially my contribution in the future. Then I will be 100% happy with that.
I'm sitting over here, like just wishing I had an influence like you in my life when I was a little girl playing sports, because I played for a lot of coaches who just love to tear us down and frankly stand there and make fun of us. So I've struggled a lot with like self-confidence issues since then, you know, in my work and things that I want to accomplish. And so just hearing you speak about that is, I don't know, it's inspiring to me. And I wish I had someone like that who just really encouraged me to go after it.
Well, I appreciate that. And I smile because that gets me so jacked up, right? Are those coaches that did that and do that to this day to players and don't recognize how important their words are and what effect they have on people. I have probably become my best coaching self based off of what people did wrong when I was growing up in sport. And I would just like, I was constantly just analyzing and being like, yep, can't do that. Yep, can't do that. That's not good, right? That's not effective. That's not right. And so, you know, we learn good lessons in the bad way. And so how to, you know, come out of that and use it as a positive. But That gets, I'm really sensitive to a coach that affects a kid, especially a young kid, right? It happens to adults as well, but a kid in a way that it would make them give up on a dream or just change the course of their life, right? When there's so much to gain from sport. So yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you. And I have teammates that are still affected to it to this day as well. And I'm 40 years old. So that's what just makes it so important, understanding the mental side of the game and the effect that we have on the players in the positions that we're in.
I read something the other day that said, when I talk to managers, they make me feel like they're important. When I talk to leaders, they make me feel like I'm important. And that just like nailed it for me. I was like, and you just said it, like you like to create other leaders and help other people see their potential. And it's very obvious from talking to you just for the last hour here that that is what you were meant to do and you're going to continue to do. And we just, yeah, appreciate your presence in the world as much as we appreciate you coming on and sharing your time with us tonight to give us just a little peek into all that you've got going on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Veronica, is there a place that we can follow along with you online or anything social media wise that you want to plug?
Yeah. My Instagram is Veronica O. Alvarez. You could hit me up on there. If you're a young girl in baseball, MLB Develops is a good place to look on Instagram as well for those girls' baseball camps. Obviously, USA Baseball is where they'll highlight our women's team. But I usually repost or post everything that, you know, the women are doing or anything that gets highlighted on their side. So, Veronica O. Alvarez.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll throw that in the show notes and tag it all over our socials as well. And speaking of that, Jana, where can the good people follow us?
Yeah, so we are on Twitter at Babes Babes Pod, on Instagram at Babes Babes Podcast. And we're now on LinkedIn, Facebook. What else?
YouTube.
Everything there is. We're all over the place. And we stream on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get
pick
your
one
podcasts.
And you'll find all the other ones. It's pretty much the way it goes. Well, Veronica, thank you again for joining us today. Make sure you follow along at your podcast consumption of choice, and we'll make sure to keep posting, and we'll see you a lot over the next couple of weeks for all kinds of post-game coverage. Veronica, thank you again, and we'll see you next time, everybody.